Mr. Porter, welcome to Pints and Polishing Podcast. We got DJ Patterson is now live.
What's up?
Thank you for coming on, our two wonderful co-hosts, and we are waiting for Jose to join in. Should be here very soon. How was your guys' day?
Oh, a long day.
That dually was awesome.
You had a dually?
Yeah. I thought I texted you about. Yeah, it was a big black effing dually that I corrected and coded today.
So you had a big old effing dually. Sweet. We now have Jose. Thank you for coming on, Jose.
Yes,
the Pints and Polishing Podcast. Jose, tell us your full name. Tell us your company name. Tell us where you're from.
My full name is Jose Del Real de la Torre. My company name is Devil in the Detail, LLC. We're out of Dodge City, Kansas.
And what's famous about Dodge City?
Boot Hill, White Herb, the old one.
That's awesome.
In the movie White Herb, I mean, like our main road, our main street that cuts through town is White Herb Boulevard. I walked past Boot Hill on my way to the shop, so that's the history behind it, you know. So.
And Boot Hill, remind me.
Have you seen what movie was it? Tombstone,
right? It was Boot Hill where Doc Holliday has that fight.
Yes, sir. And we have every summer they have gunfights at noon on Wednesdays, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of fun to see the dress up. They play out this whole scene, and they shoot each other out.
Like, do they have like the fake blood that comes out and pops and stuff?
Not the fake blood, but they got like fake guns, the cap guns.
They don't use real guns?
No.
Can I take Ian up there and do a like noon showdown with a real gun?
I'd like to see that one.
Me too.
We can really make money for that.
He's the bigger target. I have a better chance of winning.
You cannot miss. If you miss that big red target, you know.
Bro, I'm elusive, okay?
Define elusive.
I'm wiry like a cat. I jump all nimbly bimbly from tree to tree.
I definitely think elusive translates to nimbly bimbly. You are correct.
You look nimbly bimbly.
Yeah. All right, so I'm already almost done with my first beer because I love the beer you chose. Blue Moon. Why'd you choose Blue Moon?
Blue Moon, actually, the first time I tried it, big shout out to my roommate in Iraq, Andrew Jackson. He's the one that got me hip to it back in 2008. That's when I was in the Army, and I met him, and he drank Blue Moon every time that we'd go out. You know, it had a little orange on top, and ever since then, that was just my go-to beer.
What's your go-to beer? So, Army?
Yeah, United States Army.
Nice. How long? What'd you do?
I served 5.5 years from 2006 to 2011. And on paper, I was supposed to be a mechanic. But once I got in, I was tasked to do convoy security detachment. We provided security for logistical patrols, delivering supplies from bases. And my second deployment, I did fuel operations. So I was literally pumping gas every night for 12 hours.
Yeah. And what did you think of it all? Like,
it was a great experience in my life. Like, I learned a lot. It instilled a lot of traits that I carry on, or a lot of discipline. I go by this acronym. It's LDRSHIP, which stands for leadership, and that's loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And that's something that I learned in the Army, and that hold dear to me. So,
awesome, man. Awesome. That's a cool story. Thank you for your time and what you did. I think we're all grateful for everything you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the support. I think that's just as important.
Yeah. So I met you via Mr. Redbeard. How'd you guys get connected?
We're part of the same group.
Yes, sir.
Was that the Circle Jerk group?
Yep.
That's the one.
On the weekend.
Awesome. Who had to eat the pizza because they were the last one?
Hey, we don't talk about
Ian did?
Hey, man.
I was saying, Ian, like, hey, take the floor. Like, you can you answer that for her? You know, like, I wasn't incriminating you.
All right, so what group are you talking about, sir?
Detail Mafia.
Yeah, the Details Network, a.k.a. Detail Mafia.
Nice, nice. How long you been in it?
I trained with Rennie August 2014. And coincidentally, whenever Ian joined, I guess I was assigned to be his mentor, which was kind of bring him into the group. So that's kind of our initial, communication was because of that.
So all of Ian's success is from
now it all comes out, man.
Yep. Yeah. You know,
props, man, you did a good job with him, Jose.
I got the keys.
Nice. Right, so when I met you, you took some time and you came down and helped Ian in his shop right after he just opened. And to me, that was pretty badass that you would do that for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like to think of it as he kind of helped me out in the same sense. So it was during a time where, like, my machines broke simultaneously, and I was just kind of without anything to, you know, make my money on. So he quickly, you know, told me, you know, hey, come down here. I got some work we can do. And, you know, we made it happen.
Are you trying to say Ian's a nice guy?
He has a soft spot. You just got to tickle him for it.
No wonder we haven't found it yet.
I'm pretty sure Ian just giggled.
His cheeks are probably red right now, too. He's probably blushing.
I'm pretty sure he giggled when you said that you got to tickle him. So evidently there's some stories there.
No, you just got to tickle him. Yeah, you got to sneak up on him.
Yeah. All right, so Ian, you said you had a dually in today. What was your dually? How bad was it?
I mean, for a 17, yeah, I mean, it was actually a little bit worse than what it should be. But then again, I'm not clear on this guy's line of work, but he uses it for work. So, I mean, it's a work truck for the most part, but he wanted to get it done before he left for West Virginia for like 6 months or some crazy stuff on a job. So I was able to knock it out today, and hopefully he'll be happy tomorrow.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think he will be.
Well, if you put your little goodie bag in there, he'll like that.
Yeah, that's right.
What's in the goodie bag?
Oh, you got to pay to play, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I tried to slip it on him, didn't I?
You did. You did. So, DJ, yourself, crazy day?
Yeah, it was just kind of hectic, you know, running around, putting out a few fires here and there. And I've really just been doing, like, meeting stuff all day. I've been doing some work with the chamber all day. I try to schedule all my, like, you know, business meetings in, like, one day and consolidate it so I can maximize my time. So that was today.
Yeah, but your guys had a successful day. I think
they killed it, man. Especially
stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So one crew is training a new guy, which is pretty cool. And then one of my other crews, they landed 3 membership clients on all their appointments today. So that was pretty awesome as well.
So they were there just to do a regular cleaning, and they signed them up for a regular maintenance every month.
Yeah, so on a monthly. Yep. Yep. Awesome. So we'll see them once a month now, moving forward. And our retention rate's pretty awesome too. That's a pretty good win.
Yeah, that is. We actually have a car in right now ourselves. We're doing a little Audi A8, little enhancement and coating. So that's a
nice.
Our first car of the month.
Is it black?
Joking. It's the early of the month. So Jose, your day. What were you up to today?
We were working on. Actually, it was actually a pretty busy day. We started off with a fleet package. Got a construction company, and they actually have a Royals Edition F-150 that it was one of the first ones that I coated, so we touched that one up. We had an interior that was filthy. We had to pull out the masks for that one. And then had a Armada. That one was kind of weird the way the day ended on that one, because I got a deal with our local casino where they have a.
If they hit 21, they get a free detail.
Evidently they're spending some money to get this free detail, but yeah, they have the Players Club, and this is for their top tier players to get a free detail. And
oh, we for real?
Yeah. So it's pretty cool that they reached out to me, and once I got to know the guy, he was an ex Marine, so we connected on that point. He didn't really try to beat me down on the price. We really just kind of found a price point that was mutually beneficial, and I kind of picked that tournament up from him, and I like that he presented that to me whenever he approached me. But that vehicle was part of that detail or part of that deal. But the customer was kind of late in letting us know to when we could pick it up. So we got it late in the day, and once we got it, we had to do some interior work. And, it was just filthy. So we were going to keep it overnight, and she didn't make any plans, and she didn't have no car, and I had her car keys, so then I had to drop off the car, and it was still – seats were still wet. It wasn't – it was – she's like, you're going to – just drop it off to me. You can pick it up tomorrow, finish it, But, I don't like kind of – I don't like doing that, but it was just weird, so.
Yeah, you do what you
got to
do.
Yeah. And it's the first one with this deal that we have, and so I'm not worried about it. He said they have 30 members on the Players Club. They want to get it up to 90, and they'd like to have them do, get that detail at least three times. We can make some out of it.
The casino pays you, huh?
Yeah. I don't ever go to the casino, so I like, once I get that first casino check, I'm really going to smile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually getting money from a casino, it's a good gig.
Yeah.
Hey, so tell us about your business. How long you been detailing there? I mean, what size town is Dodge City?
Dodge City is, I'm going to say it's about 30,000 people. It's a small town. And small town America, we actually just bought our second McDonald's couple years ago, so that was really big, here in town. And we're not connected to any other town, so the next town over is about an hour away. That's the same size.
In the middle of nowhere, 30,000 people, just in the middle of Kansas, nowhere. Well, Dodge, isn't that a little bit south?
Southwest. Yeah. So we're right above the
Panhandle. Yeah, he's like 5 hours from us, Marty.
Okay.
Yeah, we're literally in the middle. It's flat. Cows, corn. You just drive, and it's, So our market is really, of course, your daily drivers, but a lot of work trucks, lots and lots of work trucks. The Mav 250s, the duallys.
So you're like an interior expert.
Christ, like, oh my Lord, I hate doing interiors, but yeah, that's what keeps the bills going.
Yep.
Those interiors and. Another deal we got is a BNSF. So those are just, quick washes that we have with them.
So how long do you say you've been in business?
I would say officially since 2014. So that's whenever I trained with Rennie. But I was part-time at the time. I had a corporate job at a John Deere dealership. But I didn't go full-time. Going straight into the shop into 2015. So 2015 is when I was on my own.
So you've been about 3 years. What? How was it starting off? Small town. You got a storefront or just a garage or what? What's your business like?
So starting out, it wasn't how I planned it out. Initially, I was going to work at this job for. A few years, and then move into a shop that I picked out. But it didn't work out. I just wanted to get out of that space. So I got out, made a deal with this guy that coincidentally was dating our secretary at that job. So she was kind of my way in and way out with that job. And so he has his – he works for UPS, but he has his racing parts store because we have a racetrack here in town. There's a dirt track, so he sells parts. But he had this space in the back that he wasn't using. He wanted to occupy it, and that's where I moved in. But it wasn't ideal by any means. I mean, this was in the outside of town. It was right next to a Harley dealership, which kind of gave me some visibility with them. But I really didn't attract too many of the biker community anyways. And it was in a dirt parking lot. Like I said, it wasn't ideal. So I didn't have never any walk-ins. And so that only lasted about, I'm going to say about 8 to 10 months. And then I moved into my second shop. And there I was at, and it was an actual storefront, and it was an old dealership. And so, but I had limited space on that one. I could only fit about 2 vehicles, and I didn't have any heating, and the landlord wasn't very, he wasn't a very nice guy. He was just cheap and hard to deal with. So then I found this shop that I'm at, and this one, it was kind of cool how I got it, because the guy that was here before, he was actually detailing as well. And as soon as he popped up on the radar, of course, I was watching him and I saw him, and he kind of bounced around from a couple of different shops, and then he got into this one, and he didn't last for maybe a few months until his sign was down. And then I saw somebody posted the shop for rent on Facebook. Within an hour, I got it, and I've been here since January of 2016.
Yeah, nice. So you've been there just over 2 years. What was a lot of the struggles? You know, I definitely would be a struggle trying to maintain customers if you're bouncing around locations. But once you got your feet planted, what's some of the struggles of opening up a detail shop there in a town of 30,000 people?
Right off the bat is the price. People are not used to paying the prices that, you know, that a dealership of our caliber, or not a dealership, but a detailer, detailing service of our caliber, is, you know, wanting to provide. So that was.
So that's going to be common, right? Like, everybody has the same issue. And let's, like, this would be incredibly valuable for people that are listening. Let's each chime in on how do you, when somebody's so price, you know, it's everybody complains about how much you charge. How do you handle that when you've got somebody that calls and says, well, I'm not paying that for a detail?
Well, I have a perfect example. And it was actually one of the vehicles that we did today, that stage two that I mentioned, that was really, really dusty. She hit me up through my website. So she said, you know, she filled out the form. I got the email, and you know, I right there on the form that they provide, they give me their name, their email address, their phone number, their vehicle make, what service they're looking for, interior, exterior, and then what their problem areas are. So she kind of typed up that, you know, she wanted an interior and an exterior and this and this and that. She was on a time frame, so she wanted it done by Wednesday or on Wednesday. So I quickly, you know, I was going back and forth with her. The prices that I was recommending for a full stage two interior and exterior, I think was about, I want to say about $250, $270, what I told her, and then she just wanted the interior at that point. I told her it'd be about $130 to $190 sight unseen. I just, you know, because she didn't have any time to bring it in. I told her, I'm like, that's the range, but I can't commit to it. It's just, that's what I'm thinking. And then she told me, she's like, you know what? She's like, I paid $100 last time I got it done. He's like, that's what I'm willing to pay. He's like, otherwise, I'll have to call them up. And so I responded. I said, I completely understand. And, you know, that would probably be the best option, you know, if you're looking for a better price. But unfortunately, we can't compete with those prices. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to, you know, to suit your needs. And she called me She did this conversation was on an email thread, but then she called me, and you know, I didn't recognize her number or anything. So she was like, "Hey, this is, you know, Karen. I was, you know, going back with you on the email. You know, I made a decision. I want to go ahead and give you guys a try." And so I stuck her with double. She wanted $300. I charged $200.
And she was happy. Everything was good.
I dropped it off, and she's like, "Oh my gosh!" She's like, "It looks clean." And you know, I told her how much it was, and of course, you know, she didn't bat an eye. She paid, and you know, and that was that. So, but yeah, that was, you know, and I don't know if it was maybe because of how the whole conversation played out that, you know, I kind of did a little bit extra or try to, you know, give a little bit more, you know, than normal. I don't know, but no, she was happy with the service. So
cool. So DJ, how do you handle it when people balk at your prices?
The earlier years, I, you know, kind of went back and forth quite a bit, and now I don't know, it doesn't really bother me. I just kind of move on. But when I'm trying to combat and give value, I just, you know, just talk about, you know, the service we use, the you know, the products we use, and just how professional we are, and they usually will go with it, or they won't. I mean, there's really not much else I can do besides provide the information about our company, why we're good at what we do, and just kind of move on. So
yeah, you're selling yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit and talk bad about another company or their price is, you know, low, but you know, the reason it's low because they're not good detailers. I'm just saying, you know, if that's just like you just said, Jose, if you want a cheaper price, then it's probably best you do go somewhere else, because we just don't, we can't provide the service that we want to provide, the high quality service at that rate. Exactly. And we don't lower our quality to give you a cheaper rate. We just can't, we're not capable of doing lesser work than what we're pricing ours at.
I want to have a good time detailing too, and when if I'm charging less than what I normally would charge, yeah, I'm just at the end of it, I'm end up pissed off at myself. And,
right, because you're doing too much work for yeah, nothing. You know,
I know I could have been getting more somewhere else. You know, so yeah, I completely understand.
You tell them that you're going to that other detailer for for price. You're coming to us for value.
You know? There you go.
Yeah.
Is that your line, Ian? Is that what you tell people when they call you?
No, I mean, I kind of like DJ, although I haven't been in business nearly as long. I do sell myself, and, you know, the fact that you're coming to me for value, because, you know, I care about what I do. I care about my reputation, and you're not just buying a service from me, but you're buying almost like a part of me that you're going to have, you know, great customers.
It's a marriage, you know. It, you're trying to build rapport with the customers. You know, it's not a wham, bam, thank you, man. And it's like, look, you know, like, I want you to come to me when you have a problem.
And I'll say something else, and this goes a little bit deeper than what we're even talking about, but I think it starts on the front end. It starts with your image and your brand. Like, Ian's got a nice wrap truck. We've got a nice wrap truck. Like, our website, you know, everything is in place on the front end. So when they first try to find us, you know, we have 5 stars on Google. We have pictures on our on the Google. We have a nice website with all our prices listed. You can book online. So through that whole process, they're already kind of sold with us, because we put ourselves out there like we are the,
you know, your shit together. I mean, yeah, it's some janky ass.
Exactly. And you go to Ian's page, and all you see is like nice cars, very well written posts, proper grammar. Like, it's just, we're professional, you know.
He's live.
It's hard to muscle down somebody that is well invested in their image, and their company.
And we're all three of us, I can say, we're equally confident in our businesses and our services, that we can sit there straight face and say, I'm not budging for what you want. This is what it is. And honestly, I'll say this too, one more thing. There might be times we might need that job, but we're still so, you know, set in our business and confident that we'll turn a job down even though we need it, based on something we don't want to do or price we don't want to agree on.
Yeah.
It's like, you see something and it's like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. And then, you know, to kind of compound on that a little bit, you also want to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples. So whatever that person's offering at that price, is that the same exact amount of work?
Service.
You know, is it that same level of service that you're offering for a higher price.
Exactly.
But sometimes you can also meet in the middle by just throwing out a free service that doesn't cost you a lot of time or a lot of product, but it puts skin in the game and creates a perceived value.
That's a good one right there, yeah.
I think it also – I was having this conversation with my nephew, who he's in the shop with me as well, is the misconception of detail and what it actually entails. And he was telling me that, his girlfriend, that at first that she was kind of, you know, taken aback by the prices that we were asking.
Yeah.
And now that she sees, you know, him in the shop and him working, and she knows a little bit more about detail, and she understands what it really takes and, you know, how much we're invested in, equipment, in product, and in knowledge. But that's the most important thing. That's the most valuable thing, is just knowledge, is just knowing what to do and how to do it with what.
Yep.
All right, cool. So what other struggles, as far as, you know, besides price, what struggles did you have starting off?
Keeping consistent work, because, you know, trying to ask for those prices, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it was kind of like fishing, you know, sometimes they buy, sometimes they don't. And sometimes you get paid, sometimes you don't. And though, you know, you have a lot of blank spaces in your calendar, you know, whenever you're, you know, you're saying no, you know, a lot more than you're saying yes, because you want to respect your prices and, you know, the level of service that you're trying to provide. But I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, sit on the, you know, on a high horse and pretend like I never took some groundwork to, you know, to get through the month or whatever. So, but yeah, I think that those would be the biggest struggles. It was just, you know, trying to keep constant work and, trying to stay busy.
All right. Well, that's good. I think that there's a lot of people that are going to struggle with opening up a shop, how to stay busy. So we'll get into marketing here in a minute. I think you do a great job at your marketing, so I'd love to hear what you're going to talk about. Let's talk about this Blue Moon, though. But I have been a big fan of Blue Moon. Like you said, your story about being in the Army, and that was what your guy drank. I mean, I just remember I've never been able to drink the IPAs, the hoppy stuff. It's very rare that I'll drink a stout or something dark. I've always been drawn to the Belgians, the wheats, the wits.
The wheat beer. Yeah, just the wheat beer, Shock Top, Boulevard.
Yeah, Shock Top, Boulevard. And this one, though, has always been one of my favorite. So good that that I even bought the hat when I toured the brewery.
You know, we have a brewery like a block from my house. And a distillery from my house. Then it's right behind Boo Hill, and they named that little block where that the distillery and the brewery is Boo's Hill.
Nice. Yeah, well, I had a guy that I considered my friend until he dragged me to this horrific brewery in Golden, Colorado. And he was just all about going to this place because it was his favorite brewery and his favorite beer. And it was the absolute worst brewery tour.
Bro, that's the best brewery in America, man. Coors Light is like, I mean, how does it get any better than that?
Horrific. We actually quit the brewery tour. I don't even think we made it.
Because your feet hurt from walking around and looking at all the greatness, man.
Because it was the stupidest brewery tour. They gave us a little walkie-talkie thing, and we press a button when we get to it.
And did it tell you all the history of Coors Light? Sweet. Yeah.
There was automated free beer.
And
they automated.
Someone was talking through an intercom. It was awesome, man. So
no,
great.
Nobody was talking. It was all pre-recorded bullshit.
Yeah, that was literally the wackest place ever.
It was stupid.
It was horrible.
So we were passing by the tasting room, and we were walking away, and then we were like, "Nah, we're done." And we just turned around and walked back into the tasting room. And the best part of the tour was getting to drink Blue Moon on draft. Literally, it had been kegged probably days before. And so we got the absolute freshest Blue Moon off draft. Was unbelievable. And so when we went down to the little gift shop, I bought a little Blue Moon hat, and I still wear it. I love it.
I want a Blue Moon hat.
Yeah. So what do you guys taste? Do not do it. Absolutely do not waste your time on the Coors Light piss beer tour.
It's not worth the hat.
Do what?
It's not worth the hat.
No, you can buy a hat somewhere else. Just buy it online. I think we even rented a car to go to that tour.
We did a lot to go to that tour.
We did. But, you know,
I think I would have written a letter, you know, to corporate somewhere, you know, to express the frustration.
They did not care. All right. So when you guys taste, when you drink Blue Moon, I mean, what flavors do you taste? Ian, I want you to start off.
Orange.
Orange. Is that all?
Pretty much.
That's it. Just that's all you taste. Like so.
Orange.
Drink a sip right now, Ian, and tell me what you taste.
I always just taste orange. I mean, that's pretty much.
Good one, man. Hell yeah.
No, I'm like I'm not a beer snob. I get orange. I get citrusy notes.
Citrusy notes. There's definitely citrusy notes.
Yeah.
I think DJ, like didn't that, you? Yeah, you grabbed a different one, right?
Yeah, because they didn't have the regular Blue Moon at the liquor store, so I got Blue Moon Mango. Mango Wheat.
Oh,
I've never had it before, and it's really good.
Damn, girl.
I was picking up. The one they had was apricot.
Really.
Next to the one, yeah, and I was kind of wanting to get it, but I was like, "Nah, I'm gonna be extra on the podcast. I'm just gonna get it."
No, man, but, I didn't have it, so it's good.
I want to try mango.
It's almost too mango-y, but not enough to where you don't want to drink it. Almost like a tad more mango would have killed the whole beer.
Ah, okay.
So I like what I think is great about Blue Moon, and what I was hoping to do was find they've got some really usually have some really great sample packs, and I didn't. I just got the regular Belgian white, you know, the regular Blue Moon.
It's just, I mean, it goes great with dinner. You can just sit in there and just, oh man, it's just good all around.
But you know what, Jose? I think we forgot to ask you. Are you on Wi-Fi?
No, I'm on.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're cutting in and out.
Okay. Let me give me a second. Let me.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so and I think it's interesting, Blue Moon, when they talk about Coorlander. I mean, what is? That's some type of seasoning, right? But they're always...
Yeah, coriander is a spice.
It's a spice.
Yeah.
So, that's a cilantro, isn't it, coriander?
It's actually a plant. It's also... What? Shut up. Coriander, also known as cilantro or Chinese parsley, is an annual herb in the family of... I'm not going to try to pronounce that shit. All parts of the plant are edible, but the fresh leaves and the dried seeds are the most traditionally used in cooking. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. All right, but super popular beer. I mean, you can find Blue Moon. I think everybody's had at least some type of Blue Moon.
By now.
Yeah, I mean, it's super delicious. I'm glad you chose it. I'm about to crack open my third one.
Third one.
All right, so one of the things that you do really well as an operator of your business is you do a great job of your social media marketing or social media presence. And so let's all talk about the different ways, and we will probably talk about social media multiple times throughout the next 15 years of this podcast. But so what's your favorite platforms to use? What do you like? Are you strictly on one? Do you use multiple platforms? You know, what do you use, like,
AJ? I use three right now. I use Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat.
Oh.
I used to use Twitter. And for a very small period of time, I had it Musical.ly, which was kind of let me do like little music videos. But I quickly stopped using it.
Yeah.
And Twitter.
So do you find that you weren't marketing to 13-year-old girls, and that's why you had to stop using Musical.ly?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, none of these people that are going to ever have this app or ever going to, you know, have the money to pay what I want to get for whatever I'm going to do to clean their car. So, yeah, right away, I'm just like, or they probably had, they don't even have cars. They have scooters. Hoverboards.
Yeah, I mean, Musical.ly is a fun app. I like my daughters, when they're in town, they're always on it all the time, and they can record all kinds of crazy videos, and it's super fun to watch, but... Yeah, I would think that would be hard for what we're trying to do if they don't even have cars and we try to use that as a platform.
Maybe 5 years down the road when they grow, within the core market grows up, and they start getting cars. But, it was just, I tried it out, and it was no go right away.
Yeah, but so Instagram, Facebook, and then Snapchat. Why Snapchat? That's interesting.
Snapchat is just... honestly, it's just another avenue. I use it just in the same way that Instagram now has the stories. Mm-hmm. So what I do is the same videos that I'm posting on Instagram, because I'll edit the videos or edit my ad. I'll post on Instagram. It's already linked to my Facebook page, mm-hmm. So then it posts it. And also going to Snapchat, and it'll allow me to post that video as well. And like I said, it's just another avenue. So I have people that'll strictly make contact with me through Snapchat.
And how do they find you? Do you just post your snap code in random places?
No. When I do post my snap code every once in a while on Instagram and Snapchat, or Instagram and Facebook. But whenever I'm collecting information, when people call me, that I save their number and their name and number. As soon as I save it on my phone, I go to my Snapchat, and it'll tell me if they have a Snapchat, and it'll show up as a new contact. So I just add all my people.
Gangsta.
And then, yeah, it's just visibility, and then I'll have people just reach me on Snapchat. So, anytime I save a phone number, a name and a number, I save it on my phone, I'll go to Snapchat, see if they have it, and then if they have it, I'll add them on.
Nice. DJ.
And you know, I mean, it's not just the younger generation using Snapchat. I got contacts that I was surprised would even have a Snapchat. I mean, you got old, you know, white guys with beards in work trucks, and you find out they have a Snapchat. And so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun app to use, definitely. DJ, what platforms do you use?
We're on Instagram and Facebook. I mean, we got a little, our Twitter's linked to our Instagram, but I don't even open the Twitter app.
Yeah, fuck Twitter.
I mean, I don't feel that way about it, but geez, Ian. No, it's just complicated. I mean, I'm with you, dude. It's horrible. I don't know. But professionally, LinkedIn's a good one too for all those business owners to have at least a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I actually do have a LinkedIn. I just don't check
it. You just gotta go in and update it like every 6 months or so, and that's pretty much all I do.
But no, I mean seriously, LinkedIn is supposed to be B2B kind of world. I've never really, we're the same way. I mean, we got a LinkedIn account, but I probably open it 4 or 5 times. I mean, why would people use LinkedIn?
I think it was supposed to be like, just like how you said, a B2B, like, you know, when you're coming up in the professional world, you know, and not just so much as entrepreneurs, but, you know,
working,
you know, it's like your resume. So
yeah, there you go.
Where I worked and this and that, but as a business owner, I find I get a lot more spam on LinkedIn than I do anywhere else because you have, you know, all these distributors or, you know, these big companies.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what I was afraid of. He was on his data instead of his Wi-Fi. I'll shoot him a text. We'll try and get him back on. Keep rolling. Ian, tell us which platforms you like to use.
Instagram, Facebook, pretty much. I've got Snapchat, but it's just not very effective. And, you know, I don't feel it's very effective because it's really hard for people to find you. So unless you're kind of like what Jose's doing, it's not very, I don't know, user-friendly in that aspect. Not to mention, I mean, you've got Instagram and Facebook. Like, Instagram now has stories, and they've had stories for a while. So it's just, there's not much reason for me to use it. But I'm real heavy on Instagram more than I am Facebook because of Facebook's bullshit algorithms. So,
what do you mean?
Well, like, because of the way they just recently changed their algorithms that. It's basically, it's a lot harder for people to see your content now because they're really trying to push paid advertising. So people are less likely to see business content from business pages because of that.
Then should you have just personal stuff a personal page that you'll post some business stuff onto?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you can do that. But even still, I mean, it's just you're catering to the same people over and over again. I don't know. I like Instagram. Hashtags are awesome.
Yeah, you have some funny ones.
I think it's great for our industry since if everything's visual. Then
yeah, exactly.
You can take a picture. What's the deal with hashtags? Why are you so big on hashtags?
Well, that's how people find you. You know, anybody can go to Instagram and search a specific hashtag and then see every post that's ever been posted with that hashtag. So, you know, if you have, local hashtags, DJ and I think are pretty good at using local hashtags specifically. That really helps build a local audience versus catering to other detailers, which I think a lot of people are bad about doing. I specifically have my own hashtag, hashtag Tulsa Detail Shop that I'm trying to put out there and, you know, whatever.
Nice. I'm going to start using that now just to piss you off.
Fuck you.
I'm just kidding.
And then,
that's cool about us. We're like 3 miles from each other.
Yeah.
And we're super cool. Like there's never any beef at all. It's awesome. No.
And then, Jose's got his own hashtag as well. So it's just one of those things. Like you said, Instagram, I think, plays really well with our business. And I mean, I'm pretty consistent with my Facebook. I'm just not as religious in posting as I am with my Instagram. Because I have a relatively low engagement on Facebook. And I think partly is because of the way Facebook is set up with their, you know, algorithms.
So when I first got on Facebook, 6 years ago, I think, engagement was like huge. Like we always had engagement, and it's just like literally dropped off. Like this year, there's like zero engagement.
Right. I don't know. I keep it active just to keep it active, but it's one of those things that I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
So, what apps do you guys like to use when editing for Instagram or any of your social media? One app.
I'll go ahead right quick. For pictures, my favorite right now, although you have to pay for it, I have a few others that I've been playing around with and whatnot, and they're not bad, but I don't know. I just really like this one, even though I have to pay for it every month. But it's Adobe Spark Post. Adobe has a whole trio of apps made for social media content. They're Spark Post, Spark Page, and Spark Video. Like I said, I use Spark Post to create some of the content that you have seen probably recently. And I just, I don't know. I like it. It's pretty.
Hey, you got back.
Hey,
man.
There he is.
Yeah, what's up?
Or not.
I thought he hopped back on.
Yeah, it sounded. It shows that he's on.
Okay. But, dang it, maybe we can't hear him.
Yeah, maybe we can't
hear him. He can probably hear us. It happens.
Okay, well, that's cool. So Adobe Spark what?
It's called Spark Post. That, like I said, that's for pictures. And then I have another one that I do a lot of my watermarking on. It's called Watermark Studio. And then for videos, I got one of them from Jose, but I kind of go back and forth using Filmora Go and VideoShop.
And is this for like editing pictures? Is that right?
Well, for the pictures, I'll edit using Watermark Studio and whatnot. And then if I'm creating a specific kind of content, like the one, Marty knows specifically probably what I'm talking about, the Tesla one that I did.
Yeah.
The President's Day sale. Like that, I created that with Spark Post. That I use that more for creating like a specific kind of content. Just as far as like picture editing type stuff, I'll watermark stuff with Watermark Studio. And that's really about it. I don't really edit photos a whole lot. I try to keep them raw.
Yeah.
That's definitely, I mean, there's a lot of, you start seeing a lot of people that are really doctoring their photos.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude.
Well, I was going to say both ways. Like, you see it and you're like, that's really cool. Like, yeah. Clouds look really neat. The car's cool. So, I mean, there's definitely like some, there's definitely some creative aspect to it, where it's,
oh, absolutely.
Like photography looks really well.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
There we go.
Yeah, back, you're back. On.
Nice. So, Jose, we were talking about different apps that people use for photos or video editing. And so we were just talking about how, you know, there's Ian said he likes to go raw. We didn't really want to get into that too much as far as...
Would it say what? He likes to go where?
Yeah.
You know, you guys and your group, and he likes to go raw. I don't know, man. That's just...
He likes to go raw and likes to get tickled, so...
Yeah. Oh, well. So what's... okay, let's transition. What apps do you like to use for your video or photo editing?
For photo, I use the Pixlr app. And for video, I use Filmora. Filmora Go or Filmora Mobile, one of those two.
Why is that?
I don't know if I stumbled across them or if they were recommended, but those are the ones that I just found have everything that I need.
And Filmora Go, like I said, I got it from Jose. Filmora Go is actually pretty easy to use.
And how do you spell that?
Say that again?
How do you spell it?
He's asking how to spell it.
Go ahead, Ian.
Oh, okay. It's Filmora Go. It's FILMORAGO in all one word.
Yeah, nice. And it's free, so that's cool. There's themes. Yeah. You can pick different themes. Now, do you guys pay also? Is there in-app purchases, I see?
Yeah, it has in-app purchases, but there's also a paid version. And really what the paid version is just so it removes the watermark at the end of their video. It was enough for me to pay it, because what I was doing before was I would, using the free version, you edit your video, but at the very end it has this little cutscene where it shows their logo. And what I would do is I would just take that video, use the my phone editing app and just trim it. But I noticed that every single time that I would, use that file from app to app, that it would degrade the quality. So I just went ahead and purchased or paid for them to remove that little watermark at the end, and
And how much is it per month?
It's just a one-time purchase. I think it was like maybe like $4.99 or something like that.
Oh, nice. So it's not a monthly deal.
No, it's not a subscription. No, it's just a one-time purchase.
Hell yeah.
So that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, what was that one that I was using for a bit?
I know exactly what you're
going to say. Yeah, I think you told me about it.
Yeah, Ripple.
Yeah, and you pay and it removes the Ripple logo and you can put your own logo on or a watermark.
But that one, see, we use Ripple too, and that's what my wife uses, that one. But she's got the paid one, the subscription. So, but I'm not too familiar on that one, so I can't really speak on it.
Yeah. DJ, what do you use?
We're talking just, so, like, as far as uploading photos, we use like 50-50. We use a DSLR camera, like a really high-end camera, to take a lot of our photos, then we'll upload them to our phones and just post them that way for like the quality photos. But as far as video, like if we're doing any like short video, we just use iMovie for, I mean, it's pretty simple. And then for our bigger, you know, well put together videos, we'll just use on the iMovie on the MacBook. So we just do literally just quality photos and videos. Then we utilize Instagram stories a lot for our social media. So, I mean, it's pretty plain and simple with us.
Yeah,
and our trucks are logoed and so forth, so we don't have to watermark really much at all, because we always, if you see, we'll always try to capture a little bit of our truck in all of our photos or videos, or even like a uniform and so forth. So we try to keep employees in photos and stuff, so there's no like watermarking issues ever with our photos.
Yeah, interesting. So Ian and Jose, why don't you use, why do you use the paid apps instead of just using the Apple ones?
I don't have an Apple phone. I have Samsung, so yeah. That answers your question.
that answers that question.
Well, the only app that I pay for is, again, that Spark Post, but that's because I find it very user-friendly, and they have a bunch of templates that you can work off.
What is it?
So this is when you were cut off, but Spark has a trio of social media apps that you can use to help create content. And the one I specifically use and pay for is Spark Post. It's Adobe Spark Post. And I use that for creating usually a specific kind of different content other than the typical car pictures and whatnot. And like I said, I just find it very user-friendly, and they have just a boatload of options that helps, you know, get those creative juices going and create, you know, different things.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that you never mentioned this app.
Well,
passed it along to your fellow brethren.
Well, I just started using it not long ago.
Oh, man, he's getting – did you hear this, Marty?
Yeah, he started using it like late last year. I mean, it was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, he told us about this like a year ago. Yeah, what
shut the fuck up.
We're going to get him kicked out.
Like, Jose, like, you're his mentor. And he
yeah, dude, what is this about? You should have been the first one. You should have been the test guy. Like, what the hell?
Fuck you.
Bro, like, man, that's a really cool app. Like, I hope it works out for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, like, damn, geez. Jose, like, hey, man. Hey, Jose, when I find an app, I'll let you know, bro.
Hey, man, I sure appreciate that. You know, I'm just always, you know, always trying to stay ahead. You know,
somebody's got to return the favor, right?
Somebody's like, just a salesman.
Somebody's got to return the favor.
Now everyone, all the detailers listening to this podcast are going to have this app now, man. And the mafia didn't have it first. I mean,
I'm just like, I had a
this hit. Isn't good.
Through the pints and polishing app, but I couldn't get a low-key text like, hey, man.
Check wow.
You can send a recommendation.
The hell with all of you. How about that?
I love you, big guy.
I love you, too.
Long time. Long time.
He giggled.
Probably giggle again. All right. Well, Jose, I appreciate all that info. I mean, that's super great. I'm sad that you hopped off for a minute, but I'm glad you were able to get back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Extremely grateful that you were able to get back on. so that he could share his wisdom with you.
Man, I'm just as appreciative.
Yeah. So we need to rate Blue Moon. Jose, since you are our guest, please give us a rating 1 to 5 on the Blue Moon.
What's the rating scale? You said 1 to 5?
1 to 5, 1 being I could barely even taste it without spitting it all over.
I'm going to give you a truly biased answer. It'd probably be like a 5.5 just because I like Blue Moon.
Wow.
And it's near and dear to me. You know, so.
Man, what is wrong with you Mafia members? It's 1 to 5.
Hey, there ain't no 5.5. Road, man. Leave him alone.
He likes Blue Moon. Don't judge
him. The rules are meant to be broken. That's how we innovate. We need to innovate this rating scale.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Ian, Mr. Porter.
Man.
How many have you had tonight? How many Blue Moons have you been drinking tonight?
Actually, I only did one. But I'm going to give it – it's not something like I openly choose to drink because I just feel there's so many options. But I'm going to give it a 3.5. It's a good beer, and it's super drinkable. It's definitely one of those clutch beers if if you're somewhere and they have like a shitty selection, they got Blue Moon. Hey, I'll just take a Blue Moon. So, yeah, 3.5.
And that's true. I mean, you could pretty much find it at almost any bar.
Yeah.
So,
if you can't find Blue Moon at that bar, you should probably be at that bar.
Yeah, if it's Coors Light or Blue Moon,
joke. Here we go.
I mean, it's Blue Moon all the way. All right. DJ Patterson.
So I want the So I went with the
you know, that's that beer that is better than that Rocky Mountain thing.
I mean,
it's got flavor into it.
You're right.
The Belgian stuff. That's the whole point, Porter. Kept trying to interrupt him.
Oh man. So I want the Blue Moon Mango Wheat. And I was really bummed because I don't like the flavored type beers of, the spinoffs of the flavors and stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll get it just to get Blue Moon for the show. And it's really good though. Like, it's not too mango-y. One more notch would be too mango-y, but it's like the right perfect hint of mango and wheat. I give it 4. It's a great beer.
Huh. Nice. Consider it.
Oh,
who'd we lose?
At least he got the Raiders beer.
Yeah, at least he got the Raiders beer.
We got to give his hashtag handles and stuff, though.
Yeah.
Or is that social plugs?
It must be that internet way out there in Kansas.
Well, it's hold on.
So I'm going to go 4.289.
Nice.
4.289, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man, that's good.
Yeah.
It's a good beer.
Yeah, it is a good beer. It got the 8.9 because it should have been higher than 4.2, but I had said 4.2, and so I just had to stay with it.
Nice, man.
Yeah, anyway, I like Blue Moon. Like I said earlier, it's one of my favorites. So, yeah, it's great beer. Ian, will you help everybody know where they can find Jose on social media? Because Jose is like, I mean, he's a down-to-earth, totally cool guy. Great, when he was in with you, it's like, come on, let's go take him and go grab some beer and hang out. Like, he's a super cool guy. So definitely hit Jose up, ask him questions, pick his brain. And what's his handles?
So,
Jose's back on.
Just in time.
Perfect, Jose, just in time. We're closing down. Jose, tell everybody where to find you on social media so if they have any questions, they can hit you up and check out all your great work there in Kansas.
Facebook, it's Devil in the Detail LLC. On Instagram, it's at Devil DITD. And on Snapchat, it's detail.city. My website is detail.city.com.
Okay, Instagram, say that again.
At Devil DITD.
D-I-T-D. Devil, mm-hmm. D-I-T-D.
Yes, sir.
Cool, cool. All right, Mr. Porter, what's your handles?
Both Facebook and Instagram is at Redbeard's Detail Shop.
DJ?
Yep, at DJ Patterson on Instagram, or at EcoGreenMD on Instagram as well. Same with Facebook.
And I'm going to throw out a different social media handle that I can't believe nobody talked about. Our YouTube is at Total Auto Solutions.
You got a pretty good YouTube channel.
It's crazy that nobody mentioned YouTube for social media.
Well, you know, of course, you have too.
But I don't consider it in the aspect of social media. I consider it in relation to my website SEO power ranking.
Well, it's definitely social media.
It's still social. I mean, there's a comment section. And there's used
to. What I'm saying is not how I use it, you know, as of right now, anyways. Me specifically.
Yeah.
Ow.
I'm just saying it was funny that nobody mentioned it. Anyway, so I'm Marty, Total Auto Solutions. You can find us, Facebook, Instagram, at Total Auto Solutions. This is the Pints and Polishing Podcast, where we have a great time. Thank you guys so much for being on. We're always going to drink some beer, and then we're going to talk about detailing. So thank you so much, Jose, our special guest. Dude, killer job. We really appreciate you coming on. DJ Ian, as always, thank you for being such great co-host.
Fuck yeah.
Peace. Make it a great
big
day.
Big shout out.
This is my
I love you. I love this, man. I listen to a lot of Drink Champs, so this is what it reminds me of.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all have a great night.
You do the same.
Peace.
See ya.
Lord.